This morning, we're going to take a look again at Luke chapter 15. It is the prodigal. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us in this time of learning. May you be emphasized. May we look at what you tried to tell us so long ago, and yet how it still applies to us today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are talking about the prodigal, and last week we talked about the younger brother, and interesting enough is, what is this section called? This is the prodigal son, which is so interesting because sometimes we can get lost in the labels, and we explained when you have two kids that generally your firstborn is your better one, right? Yes? Okay, got it. I don't know what to do with three, because the three doesn't work with you guys, all right? But there's two for a reason, and so you have the older and the younger brother. We take a look at last week about the younger brother, and the other younger brother basically tells his father, "Father, I wish you were dead so that I could have all your money. I just want what you have." And so we took a look at that. So he's a little self-centered, the younger brother. Can you imagine that your younger siblings would be actually self-centered? Can you imagine a world in which younger kids are like that? So that's kind of where things are. And he was a squanderer. He goes off so that no one can find him. And he takes everything that the father has given him. And within a short amount of time, it's all gone. All right? So the question is, what happens to this younger brother? You guys remember? Comes back home. There's his father waiting for him, and his father welcomes him home, and his father says, "Let's kill the fattened calf. Let's have this huge party because you have come home." And so this is what happens to him, and so there's this huge, huge party, and some of the commentators were talking that when you have a feast like this, when you have a feast like this, this is literally, you're going into town and you're saying, come on, everybody. And fat calf means that everybody in the surrounding area has been invited to the party. Okay, so can you imagine, the big cities when they have a huge party and have the searchlights, you know, those lights that keep going, like the car dealerships that want you to come there at night. And they have those huge lights that you can see when it's cloudy. Imagine that kind of party, all right? That's what is happening when they say this is the fattened calf. And so interesting enough is here we see this older brother, this older son, all right? He's in the fields where the older children generally are. They are the more responsible ones, right? They're the ones who generally get things done. So he's coming in out of the fields, working all day long, making sure that everything is finished, and then hard day of work, coming home, and he comes home, and he hears all this dancing, he sees those searchlights going on. He's like, what in the world is going on here? Nothing like this has ever happened. And so we look at Luke chapter 15, verses 25 and 27. I'll read these. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what are these things? What does this mean? And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. When we translate this, quite literally is, your dad's having the biggest party ever because your brother has returned home and your father is ecstatic. Your father is ecstatic. And so interesting, let's read these together, please. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. So interesting enough is you see the contrast between the two brothers. You see the younger one who squanders everything and yet comes back. You see the older brother, the more responsible brother, see what has happened to his younger brother and literally quite literally is saying, you know, this guy, this brother has taken everything you have, Dad. He has done everything that you are not. And he's taken it and he's wasted it away. And you welcome him like nothing's wrong. And so he becomes angry. Angry that this brother has come home. And quite literally, he's looking and saying, you know what? All that's supposed to be mine. All of that is supposed to be, all the money that went to the searchlights, all the money that went to the fattened calf, that's mine. Younger son took it off. That everything that's going on now, that lily should be mine. And so we see an older son, an older brother, literally looking at things and saying, Father, don't do with my stuff unless I tell you to. Does that remind you of another brother? You see the similarities almost in the two sons. They both wanted their father's stuff. They both look at what the father was doing as, that's mine. Literally wanting, and so the contrast is there, but the similarities are right before our eyes. And so interesting enough is he was angry. He was angry at his brother. He was angry at dad because sons never get mad at their father for what they do. We never get mad at what our parents are doing to us, even though we've been away from the house for decades. It was what our parents did sometimes that really rocks us. And interesting enough is, let's read this together, but I want you to take a look at what's being said, what's not being said, and chew on the words that Jesus uses to explain this. Let's read this. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. You reading between the lines yet? Does he even call him his brother? Do you catch that? Do you catch that? The older, more responsible one looks at his father and says, this other guy that's living here. As if to say, he's not even worthy to be called my brother. And interesting enough is this is the brother that wouldn't go after one that was lost. He worked in the fields. I want to know how he knew how he spent his money. You ever wonder that? Does that not? Did you have him tailed? Did you have a spy? Did you have a private investigator follow him? How do you know what he did with his money? And yet you come here and you charge him with this idea that he's gone after other people and melded with other people and then come home and all of a sudden you know everything about his life. And so the older brother is very interesting. The older brother is interesting. Stop wasting your money, Dad. This guy is beyond redemption. We need to focus on what we need to focus on. Both of them looked at their father's possessions as what the father should do as the sons thought. And yet here is one son coming home and saying, Father, I'm not worthy. The older brother you have coming home, and what happens? Interesting enough is where this leaves off in Luke chapter 15. Jesus leaves it with a cliffhanger. All of a sudden, they're talking, and the story doesn't get resolved. We don't know what happens to the older brother. We don't. All we know is they're talking, and the older brother doesn't want to come in. So I told you there's an older brother and a younger brother. And that's for a reason. Jesus knows his audience, and he knows what's inside their head. And this is Luke chapter 15, the very start, the very start. And he tells three different stories: the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son. The lost son. Interesting that it's not entitled sons. It's entitled the lost son. It's not plural. And so what we see from the very beginning of Luke 15 is we see who Jesus is talking to. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." There's two groups of people before Jesus. There's the tax collectors and the Pharisees and scribes. And interesting, there's two people in the story. And he's saying, on the one hand, there's a group of people who, yes, have sinned. But what about those people? Those people come and say, "Lord, I need you. I need repentance from you. I need you to take away this great sin of mine." On the other hand, you have this group of people who are self-righteous, who believe that they can earn their way to what the Father has. And yet when they see everybody else, they say, "That person's not worthy of you." As if to say, you know what, this sermon is great. You're really pouncing on someone that really needs to hear it. Great, can you get to the sermon about me later? The problem is, if we really look at this, the problem is this could be said of all of us in here. Is when we take a look at saying, "Lord God, this person doesn't deserve your forgiveness. And I refuse to go into this great banquet with that person. I refuse to be in the same place." And so when we translate this and say, okay, this is a story from back 2,000 years ago, it doesn't apply. Why not? Because when you translate it and put in heaven in place of the great banquet, and you see who's at the great banquet in heaven, you see sinners who have come home. Who do you see outside the great banquet? The people that think that God shouldn't forgive. The people who think, "Well, that's great, but I'm going to earn my way." Or the people who say, "Father, I should decide who gets to go to heaven, not you." And so even in this place, we see that there is a lost son who wants to stay outside and grit his teeth. The problem is, a lot of times we don't see that in ourselves. We focus too much on the lost son and not the lost brother. And unfortunately, we take a look at this and say, "Lord God, let's look around here at this place. Who can we keep away from these walls? Who can we keep out of hearing about the message of what the Father has for us?" And so that is a great disservice when we say, okay, the gospel can only be applied to certain people. I've heard it in a lot of churches, unfortunately, and I'm sure that you guys have too, the old expression that this is a whites-only church. I've heard that. I've been in a lot of congregations where I've heard that. Doesn't mean that the congregation is mad in that way. It just means that people are going through things that they don't understand. How about this idea of, I've heard it in every single congregation. You know what? If people want something different in this congregation, they can go somewhere else. People are going somewhere else. They are. And so when we take a look at, okay, lost son, which one are we? And saying, how can the message of the gospel flow through us and not be stopped where we are and not be contained, because the gospel will flow from what God is doing, not us. And so as sons here this morning, as children, as people of God, do we look at the Father and say, Father, we need the forgiveness that comes from you? Do we look at the forgiveness that comes from God and saying, God, your forgiveness is for everybody, and we thank you for that, because the least of these, me, the one who least deserves your forgiveness, is the one who receives it today. To look at, say, Lord, there are so many others that are still not a part of your banquet. Lord God, where do you want to send us today? Who do you want to know about what's happening up there? Lord God, as a congregation, I have a great banquet listening to all of this. Lord, how can we take this message outside? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, this message is still a message for us today. And Lord God, we struggle and we sometimes go in between each younger brother and older brother in our minds. Oftentimes, we're like the older brother. Because Lord God, we think that we know the best, what's best for your gospel, for your love. Sometimes we want to control life too much, where we even want to control who gets into heaven, who hears the message about you. Lord God, we also need to hear the story of the younger brother who received your forgiveness. And Lord God, what an amazing thing that was, to be accepted even though we've tried to take everything from our Father. Lord God, what an amazing God you are. Lord God, we're going to study that next week. What an amazing time to understand what grace means. What you have given us, we don't deserve, and yet you give it freely. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.